I'm fighting more of a stomach thing than anything else at this point, and that must just be where I'm at in the process. It's woo, what a disaster. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back to the show.
Whoa.
The Two Dumb Yinzers, episode 514. I want to welcome everybody back. This is Monday, March 11th. Mike, did you celebrate Mario Day yesterday?
No, what's Mario Day?
That's all the nerds. They celebrate March 10th because M-A-R and then 10 spells out Mario.
I have never heard that in
really?
My life. No, and I'm like, I'm a video game guy, I never heard that. I know May 4th is Star Wars Day.
Right. May 4th be with you and Mario
November
Day.
November 7th, if you play Mass Effect, is Mass Effect Day for, N7. I know Pi Day's coming up, 3.14.
Right.
Never heard of Mario Day in my life.
The Ides of March.
The Ides of March. History buff. Yeah, with Julius Caesar.
But you don't know Mario, huh?
I don't know Mario Day.
See, that makes you even weirder than the people that do, I think.
I think it does.
Good morning, people. Yeah, welcome back. It was a rough weekend. I know Mike wasn't feeling well. Again, I had another bout with the whole stomach thing, and I'm just nauseated today, so I guess that's something to be thankful for. I'm thankful for nausea.
But, we got some news coming up that's going to make you feel a whole lot better.
Oh, I don't know. All we really have is the penguin stink, and I guess we have a couple of things here we could talk about, right?
Just a couple good things.
Omar Khan, everybody. Anything but standard here in Pittsburgh. Omar Khan, everybody has done it again. As of last night, of course, everybody remembers at the end of last week, Russell Wilson made a six-hour trip to the facilities to talk to the Steelers.
Yeah.
Ends up talking to Arthur Smith for a long time.
Yeah.
Hours.
It was at least half of the six-hour meeting was him and Arthur Smith.
And what ended up happening due to this conversation and this meeting with Arthur Smith and the Steelers, as of last night, the Steelers signed Russell Wilson, guys, to a one-year, $1.2 million contract. Ooh. Which is the veteran minimum. And it's so bizarre because just last year, the past 2 years, he blew Denver out of the water, getting all his money from them. They're still paying him money.
They're still paying him.
Up to $38 million. And here we get him at the veteran minimum.
Ooh.
And just to throw some things at you here, not only, and I'm getting conflicting responses. I'm seeing things on Facebook. I'm seeing things on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, a lot of people are excited. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people are very excited about what's going on with this signing of Russell Wilson. But at the end of the day, guys, Russell Wilson is a 9-time Pro Bowler. Russell Wilson was the 2012 Rookie of the Year. Russell Wilson led the NFL in passing touchdowns in 2017. Russell Wilson made two Super Bowl appearances, winning one of them. And again, I read the statistics of Russell Wilson's career on the Friday show, and he's never had a season under 3,000 yards. His totals come out to 43,653 yards since 2012, 334 touchdowns, 106 interceptions, which he threw 8 of them last year. So he was at 98 prior to last year, still under 100, mm-hmm. being 11 years into his career. I don't see how this could be a bad thing. I see people that are kind of freaking out. Well, what about Kenny? Well, do you want to win or do you not want to win?
Yeah.
Listen, you brought in, right. You bring in a veteran. This guy, he's been there. He's done that. He's, we're going to win some football games this year, guys. We're going to mm-hmm. score some points. And let's just say that, which I think he's going to win this quarterback competition because, listen, I can't imagine. I can't imagine Russell Wilson. He had options. He could have went other places and started. But I can't imagine he would have talked to them guys for hours and hours. And at the end of the day, they said, well, you're probably going to be behind Kenny. I think that he's probably going to start, if not immediately, eventually. And putting Kenny behind such a player. Now, people are going to kill me. People are going to shoot me. People are going to put me on the cross for this. But you know what? To a quarterback that somewhat had a somewhat comparable career to Ben Roethlisberger's, guys, we're getting a Russell Wilson that may be comparable to Ben in his later state, which again, it wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but at the end of the day, it's better than a lot of situations that teams have going on out there. And if you go and you look at the possibilities that we could have brought in, your Ryan Tannehill, your Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, don't get me wrong, has a lot of good numbers, but pound for pound, when you stack their numbers up against one another, this guy that we got yesterday has the best career statistics out of everybody.
And has the ring.
He has the ring.
And has the ring.
And a lot of other things, as I mentioned. So I can't imagine why he's as close to that guy that we could possibly have on this team this year.
Yeah.
We always talk about you got to have that guy to have a chance in the NFL. You got to have that guy to win a championship in the NFL. You got to have that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. This is the closest thing to that guy that we could possibly have this year, this situation, ahead of Kenny Pickett, which he hasn't had a chance to play behind a veteran and learn behind a veteran and learn behind a guy who, again, been there, done that, rookie of the year, led the league in touchdowns, two Super Bowls, 9-time Pro Bowls. Guys, there is nobody better than Russell Wilson at this point to have in this particular position. You know, people say, well, I thought they committed to Kenny. Well, because they got a veteran to come in for 1 year on a league minimum to play and maybe teach Kenny. How is this a bad thing, guys?
Yeah.
And it's like, not.
It's not. And one very important thing, like you mentioned at the very top, like 1.2, 1.3 million is all he's counting against the salary cap.
Right.
And now you can go and, you know, that second round pick.
We can still
pick,
build and build.
Yeah, that
and
second
build.
Round pick that everyone's saying trade for Justin Fields. That second round pick might be what you need to get L'Jarius Sneed from the Chiefs in a signing trade contract. Now you have salary cap space to get your starting corner opposite Joey Porter Jr., get your tackle in the first round. This was a smart move because you're saving so much money in the salary cap. You can use that second round pick, get a starting corner, get your starting right tackle in the draft, and then build from there, still in free agency in the draft. It was a smart move, logical move. Yeah, Russell Wilson wasn't that great in Denver, but that defense was terrible around him. Now you come to the Steelers that have one of the better defenses in the league. You know, maybe not in yardage, but in points given up, they are one of the best defenses in the league. And you put Russell Wilson on this offense, you think it's going to score more than 14 points a game. You know, with a new offensive coordinator whose offense has scored, and, you know, they were one of the top 10, top 5 scoring offenses when he was an offensive coordinator. Things are looking up for this team now. And, you know, with Kenny learning from a veteran, that can be the key. This can be a great year for Kenny to sit and learn from a veteran. Sometimes quarterbacks need that. And if he can't figure it out from Russell Wilson, then he might not be the guy. And if he can learn from Russell Wilson, maybe he can be that guy. So it's a win-win all the way around. It's low risk, high reward. This move all the way around.
Kenny Pickett had to learn from Matt Canada and a couple of guys that, you know, that you never even heard of their name.
Yeah.
This tandem of offensive coordinators that we ended up with. Now he's behind a veteran who has numbers and a resume.
Hall of Fame resume.
That's gonna land you in the Hall of Fame. There's no two ways about it. And look at this. We can still play to win as Kenny learns.
Yeah.
It isn't like we're gonna have to go through all these terrible hard times with Kenny.
Yeah.
In some situation, don't get me wrong, he was semi-successful. I'm not gonna shit on Kenny, but to be honest, we are acting like a real football team. Omar Khan and company managed this like a real football team should. This is the way that you should handle your things. You should bring in a veteran. You shouldn't throw this rookie into the wolves. You obviously seen season one. That wasn't going to turn out well. You could keep doing it over and over and over again until you deem him a failure. Or you could bring a veteran in, win along the way, have Kenny play behind this guy who, again, he's a Hall of Famer. Guys, he's short of Ben Roethlisberger, but I got to tell you, at the end of the day, you know, his 9 Pro Bowls.
The next best thing.
His 9 Pro Bowls was more than Big Ben's 6 Pro Bowls. And at the end of the day, I'm not saying that he's better than Ben, but out of all those possible guys, those possible guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tannehill, I was laughing at Ryan's comment.
Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins. There's nobody that I would rather have here than Russell Wilson. You could say, you know what? He had a terrible time in Denver, But did he really have a terrible time? Yeah, the team wasn't that good.
He didn't.
You know what? And that team wasn't that good prior to Jay Payton and Russell Wilson getting there. That team's kind of been a disaster for a while. Again, the past couple of seasons, listen, he threw for 6,000, over 3,600 yard, no, 6,600 yards over the past two seasons. I'm sorry, 6,600 yards over the past two seasons, mm-hmm. over 40 touchdowns and 19 interceptions. You know what? That's not a bad, you know, for what it is. You would think the way that people were talking about the time he had in Denver, he would, you know, he wouldn't reach 3,000 yards. You would have figured he would have had less touchdowns and interceptions. You know, he had 3,070 yards last year, 3,524 the year before. 26 touchdowns, 16 touchdowns, and then the interceptions were 11 and 8.
Yeah.
Comparable to the rest of his career, it's not that far off. Guys, just prior to that, the three seasons prior when his team in Seattle wasn't any good, he had 3,000 – okay, he had 25 touchdowns, 40 touchdowns, and 31 touchdowns. And his last 3 years with Seattle on a team that was deemed not that good, where he wasn't playing well, he was a problem. Guys, 25 – 40 and 31 touchdowns in those last three seasons in Seattle. Where can you find something that compares to that?
Yeah, and it, like it, that 1 year in Denver, his first year in Denver, what Hackett was the coach, and I think they were getting ready. They were trying to lure Aaron Rodgers to Denver, and Russ became their backup plan. So he was set up for failure immediately from there. They bring in Sean Payton. Sean Payton really didn't want Russell Wilson. So even in that bad situation, he didn't put up that bad of numbers. He had 2022 was probably his worst year as a pro, at least passing-wise, percentage-wise, or completion percentage. It was 60%. But then this year, he rebounds to about to above his career average. 66% passing completion percentage. That's pretty damn good. You know, touchdown interception ratio was good. He's not the quarterback he once was, but he can still play. He can still win in this
league. Again, would you want a Ben Roethlisberger at the end of his career? Or somebody that never had the career that Ben had?
Yeah, and I'm not paying, right. $25, $35 million a year for, what's his name, Kirk Cousins. I'm not paying kind of money for him because that's going to hinder you building the rest of the roster. That's right here. You can build a solid team around
him. It was the best move that Omar Khan and company could have made. Again, with what you're getting and what you're getting for us, very, very small amount of money. You take the rest of the money that you make from clearing up spaces. Again, we're going to go over the guys that we cut over the weekend. We're going to go over all these numbers. And for what we got and the money that we paid and the amount of space left for us to build this team, which there's a lot of areas that we could certainly work on. Again, at the end of the day, this puts us in the best position to win football games as we prepare Kenny Pickett to move forward. I semi-agree with Brian on the board. He doesn't pass between the hash marks, but there was something very, very fishy about that team last year in Denver. I watched a couple games, and early in the game, it was very Kenny-like. It was just these dink-dunks out of the backfield. But when it came down to the fourth quarter and Russell Wilson had to start throwing the ball all over the field, guess what? He threw the ball all over the field. He made comebacks. He won football games with his arm. Again, I think with the resume that we're bringing in and what we spent to get it, that clears so much other stuff up. There's no ego with this guy, as far as I know. These problems in Denver.
He's a weird guy.
But you know what? Who cares?
I don't care. Like, he can still Super Bowl win champion. In this league. Do I think this team's going to make it to a Super Bowl? No, but I think they can have a decent run in playoffs.
Right.
Guys. We made it to the playoffs. We lost a game. I think, with making the quarterback change, again, let me say this one more time. He was the rookie of the year. He did lead 2017. He led the whole – you know how many times Ben led the whole NFL in passing touchdowns? None. Am I saying That's he's crazy. Better than Ben? No, I'm not saying that. But, again, bang for the buck, I think this is the move that you have to make, and we could win along the way while the younger guys are improving and getting better. And again, who did Kenny have to learn from in his first 2 years? Matt Canada. Now he is a veteran quarterback who's been there, done that, did all these things, and is going to the hall. He's going to walk into the Hall of Fame in 5 years after he retires. There's no two ways about it. How people think this is a bad move, I don't know. You're not giving up on Kenny. You're making Kenny's chances better. This is going to be the first chance that Kenny's going to have to actually sit back and watch and learn. But he's the closest thing that we're going to get to that guy this year moving forward. And let's see what we can do. You know what? You can't go from zero to hero out of nowhere. People, obviously, they wanted us to perform miracles. this offseason and become Super Bowl champion. But wait a minute. You can't bring in a guy who's a veteran who knows what he's doing, who has an impeccable resume.
Right.
They you know, they want us to get a young rookie quarterback who doesn't have a proven tracker. Who's
and,
you know, it's a 50-50 shot if they're going to pan out or not. Because now with Mac Jones being traded back, that Trevor Lawrence draft class, the only starting quarterback left in the first round is Trevor Lawrence, and he hasn't even hit that plateau of he's going to be a generational talent. You know,
you're talking about Caleb Williams as your number one overall pick. Does anybody know that he was 5-4 in his conference this year? Does anybody know that he was 8-5 overall? Listen, you're sitting there hoping and praying to catch that lightning in the bottle with these guys out of college who never played a single NFL snap. Mind you, this guy, one more time, and I won't say it again, was Rookie of the Year. He led the league in touchdown passes in 2017, 9-time Pro Bowler, and 2 Super Bowl appearances, winning one. Is he the best ever? No. Is he Ben Roethlisberger? No. But where we're at right now, this is the best bang for the buck. Yeah. He plays in front of Kenny. Kenny learns we can win along the way. We make our – dude, listen, free agency starts in 2 days and in about 6 hours here, guys.
Well, legal tampering starts in a half hour.
So what I'm saying is, listen, we got that working for us. Omar Khan proves he doesn't sit on his hands. He's going to make moves in the free agency. We have the draft coming up next month. Guys, we are in a better situation than we were this time last year. Say what you want. Argue what you want. Tell me that the guy is 35 years old. You know what? It is kind of – the first thing that popped into my head, we had 2 35-year-olds both wearing Walter Payton Man of the Year patches. But you know what? It's still a better situation than we were in last year. And at the end of the day, who expected this team to be in a Super Bowl next year? I don't think anybody did. And if you're not now, then you know what? Not much has changed then, right?
Right. And, like, there's still a lot of movement to happen, too. Like you said, free agency starts officially on Wednesday. Tampering period starts here at noon. So we might see a couple signings, you know, not official signings, but, you know, unofficial agreements start coming trickling through here towards the end of the show. I'm just excited to see what, Omar Khan has cooked up. I know we talked to the center that Buffalo just released. He's going to end up going to Jacksonville. Is that right, Derpy? Jacksonville? Morse is going out there. I would like to get him, but, you know, there's still some other guys and we might take a look at. But like I said, you know, you're paying your starting quarterback salary for this year between Kenny Pickett and Russell Wilson is like $5 million. So that gives you a lot of flexibility to plug a lot of holes on this team. Maybe go get an actual high-end free agent. So, and that's one of the things, too, that's exciting about this trade, you know, or this signing is you didn't blow the salary cap on a quarterback.
Right.
This is Omar. Omar, listen. So far,
thank you, Denver.
What you've seen last year come from Omar Khan, and so far what you see this year, I'm not disappointed. I've seen nothing but moves. I'm very satisfied with him so far. I can't wait to see what he does this week. I can't wait to see what he does next month. Guys, it was daylight savings over the weekend, which means one thing. That means we are 1 hour closer to free agency. That's right. Free agency starts Wednesday, 4 p.m. officially. As Mike says, you're going to see more and more things happening as I've been seeing on my television all morning. We're going to get to that in just a moment, guys. I do want to talk about some of the Steelers moves that we did make over the weekend, the past few days. Of course, Mike was talking about the center from the Buffalo Bills, Mitch Morse. He is talking to some other teams, so I'm not sure if that's going to go down. But also the guy, the Super Bowl winning center from the Rams, I believe is also scheduled to come. A few other people like this. Over the weekend, Patrick Peterson was cut. Keanu Neal let go because of a failed physical. Allen Robinson let go. Levi Wallace excited for a new team. So we do have guys moving. We have guys preparing to move. Breeden Fehoko seemed to be the only guy that caught a deal.
Yeah, he came back.
Players moving around. Mm-hmm. He signed to a one-year deal, which I don't even know if he's seen the field last year.
He did. I went back through and Craig Wolfley, Steelers he does color commentary. He, you know, former great offensive tackle for the Steelers. He loves the way Fehoko plays. He said he's just a great run stuffer. So I like that. I like that move. Cushenberry. I forgot about Cushenberry from Denver, Brian. Good call. He's high up on the list of top free agents.
Deontay Johnson linked to a couple different teams in trade talks. He's linked to the Buffalo Bills and the Arizona Cardinals.
If you don't get a second for him, don't trade him.
I think right. I think he's on his way out, but that's just me. We'll keep our eye on that, along with all these other things going on, guys. As far as the Steelers compensatory picks, Mike, they did not get any this year. The Rams and 49ers led the way. They both get 5. And then there's a long list of a dozen other teams on top of those two teams who do get the picks as well, Mike.
Yeah, how active we were in free agency and how well our guys played and how a lot they played, it was no surprise.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, Omar knew what he was doing. I think he said, yeah, we're not planning on getting any compensatory picks. It kind of sucks, but that's a good thing. That means the guys you brought in performed really well and played.
Jerry Judy, wide receiver, goes to the Browns over the weekend. A lot of people were excited about that up in Cleveland. Mac Jones, of course, what Mike mentioned earlier, he went to Jacksonville for a 6th-round pick. Mac Jones, the former New England quarterback. Patrick Queen being linked to the Dallas Cowboys at the moment. That's just a rumor as we speak. Don't know how that's going to play out. Baker Mayfield, he signs a 3-year deal with Tampa Bay as of this morning. He's coming back and will be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback for the next 3 years.
Congratulations, Baker. We've been big fans of Baker.
I like Baker.
I did too, man. Like in college, and then when he came out up to Cleveland, he had that swagger, the way he played.
He's a Brett Favre style. I have always liked the Brett Favre style.
Yeah,
I like that style of quarterback. Also, guys, the couple other news around the league as of this morning, I'm seeing T. Higgins is requested to be traded.
Yeah, I just saw that.
So now you got, Tyler Boyd probably leaving. You got T. Higgins trying to get out of there. It's going to be interesting to see what these guys could throw together in Cincinnati when Joe Burrow comes back healthy next year. So,
he's going to be like, Jamar, what happened to the guys?
Yeah.
History repeats itself.
Like, wouldn't it be funny if, like, Joe Burrow was, like, a one-year wonder?
Well, that'd be great.
Right.
It would be great for us.
Yeah, so it would be fantastic. It would
be great. But it's looking like an injury-prone guy of, like, the what-if.
The Chiefs re-signed defensive tackle Chris Jones. They agreed to a 5-year, $95 million guaranteed contract. Good for him. I didn't see him leaving there, to be honest.
No, but that frees up LeJarius Sneed, baby. Make that call, Omar. See if you can get a contract worked out.
Some rumors. Saquon Barkley, Mike, your boy.
Yep.
He's linked to a lot of Philadelphia Eagles talk.
I'm loving it because Giants fans are.
Within the division, I think, would be interesting. Because I find the Eagles very uninteresting. And I find the NFC East very uninteresting. Yeah. So I think a little bit of this could be good for that division. So
it would, create some up. People say, oh, there's a lot of great rivalries there. I just don't feel it with those teams. It doesn't feel like a true hatred.
The thing is, you're from such a good rival division. Your team is from the division that has great rivals.
Yeah,
everything else just feels minimal.
Like when people say like the Saints and Falcons are a rival.
Right.
What?
If you grew up with that, it was probably a big rivalry.
I just don't feel it. Like everyone feels like Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Also, Fletcher Cox announced he's going to retire. We spoke a little bit about him the other week where he said he would love to come play in Pittsburgh before he wrapped it up, but he decided to over the weekend call it quits. He will be retiring. So
they're losing. They lost 2 great players.
They are losing a lot.
They could still play.
I think that team, I couldn't wait for this. I don't like Philadelphia. I never liked the Eagles.
They had a nice little run there. I think it's going to start falling apart.
So here you go, guys. Plenty of action to get this season started, this off season, I guess you can call it. But you have the trade or free agency starting at 4:00 on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot of things happen between now and then. This is very exciting, guys. Wednesday is the 4:00 is the free agency deadline, or get things kicked off. As I just mentioned, we read about 10 different moves and things that are happening and things that are in motion. And I think that you're going to continue to see these things as the week goes on, guys. So very, very exciting week for the NFL.
Yeah. And there's been chatter too online that the Bears might trade out of that number one spot. Really? They might hold on to Justin Fields and see if they can get a generational, trade package back. Kind of like when Dallas traded, or who was a Herschel Walker for the Vikings, get one of those type packages. And then that's the big
they really
buzz
thought
on
we were going
Twitter.
To bite. They thought we were going to, they thought
I
they
mean,
were
they
going to
thought
get
we were
us
going to get
back.
at least a second for him. Now, like, God, you might be able to get him for a sixth round pick.
Like they really thought they were gonna pull one over us on us. You know that they thought that we
Oh
were gonna
yeah,
bite
they're yep, get us back for that
that
trade
Chase
last year.
Claypool. Yep. So guys, let's have a little fun with the NFL here. This is from Mad Dog. I don't know if anybody knows who Mad Dog is. He's a radio personality. He's very I love Mad Dog. This guy's is the top five suffering NFL fan bases. Guys, would you guys like to participate to try to figure out who the top five suffering NFL fan bases are?
Yes.
Let's go from five to, you know, I'm going to go from one to five because I think this is interesting the way that this is. Guys, number one, all the most suffering NFL franchise, according to Mad Dog, and I really respect what Mad Dog has to say. Number one, the Cleveland Browns. I don't think anybody, anybody could deny, argue, anything against that.
Oh, no,
two.
They won two Super Bowls.
That's true. That's
you
true.
Know, the original Browns are down in Baltimore, baby.
That's right. The number two team, Minnesota. I couldn't agree more.
Really?
Oh, for what, four in the Super Bowl, baby?
Yeah. I mean, at least
they were
getting
the original
there,
Bills,
but,
man.
Number three, the New York Jets. The
Yeah,
Jets.
They haven't won anything in forever.
Number four, the Chicago Bears. The Bears. Guys,
they've won Super Bowl to their credit, and people act like they're this historic franchise that has done a lot.
They're like
the
the
NFL.
Oldest franchise ever, and they have won Super Bowl.
Yeah, and people act like they're all up there in the mystique of the NFL. Like,
yeah,
you've won one Super Bowl when you had two good running backs and two good linebackers.
And you never had a quarterback.
Well, you did have the greatest kick returner of all
time. Never
had
a quarterback, indeed.
Finally, this is the reason I read it forward, not backwards. I find this to be very funny. Fellas, you want to take a stab at who you think Mad Dog says is the fifth most suffering NFL franchise in the NFL is?
San Diego.
Cleveland, Minnesota, the Jets, Chicago, and this team is marked as number five. Mike, go ahead. Who?
San Diego.
All right, Derpy.
The Bills.
The Bills. Guys, Mad Dog has the number five spot on his list here for the fifth most suffering NFL franchise, and I love this. I couldn't be any more happy at this, and this makes me smile. Guys, Patriots. The number five team on this list is the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys. I love it. The Browns. For them to even be in this conversation with the Browns, the Vikings, the Jets, the Bears, and then the Cowboys. Come on. If that's not one of the biggest things that made you smile today.
Yeah,
huh?
It does make me laugh. It is funny. I'm just trying to think, how are they there, though? But they haven't won anything forever. So
they haven't won since January 28, 1996.
Gio was born.
Jesus, Derpy.
That was you were born?
One of the biggest.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Maybe it's me.
Maybe it is you.
You. Better watch out, Derpy. Jerry Jones would have sent a hit squad after you.
That's right.
Like, I'm not saying he shouldn't do it, but as long as we can record it, good for the show.
You're not saying that Jerry Jones shouldn't send out a hit squad?
I'm not saying he shouldn't, but if he does, let us know Derpy. So we can film it. I think Derpy will come out on top like John Wick.
Derpy!
So,
with the dog.
Guys, Mike, does this team become a competitor now? And as we talked last year, this was one of the strongest divisions in the NFL. I don't think that changes. I think that it only makes things stronger. Mike, does this team become somewhat of a competitor now where they weren't last year? And I think, you know, most people were going to agree with that, with what we had going on in our quarterback situation and in our offensive coordinator. Think of the changes that were made, the adjustments that we made. Is this team now have a chance to be in conversation when you start talking about teams that can be a possible Super Bowl team from the AFC?
I think maybe in not a contender, but a spoiler type role, a team that, you know, knocks a team off in the playoffs that, you know, people thought, oh, this team's going to make it to the conference championship or the Super Bowl. I think we can knock someone off, I don't think we would make it to the AFC Championship game, but I can see us winning. I think we're going to be a wild card team again. It's because the AFC is so stacked. But I think we can win the first round and maybe even the second round game and knock one or two teams off that people were expecting to have deep runs. If we play a spoiler role, play above expectations for right now, I think, again, we're, you know, just a wild card team. And I think we win one or two rounds.
Derpy, what do you think?
Derpy!
I think we'll be what the Texans were.
Yeah, that team Derpy. That goes on that little run. I think, but you know,
we're going to make the right move, though, this offseason in order to get there, I believe.
I think we went around like 11 games this year. Just right now, just on paper with what we have, not seen any of the moves ever coming.
So we're one game better.
I think we're one game better, but we will play much better. Where, you know, the games won't be as close. The wins won't be as close and the losses won't be as devastating. But yeah, I think it was a one game improvement, maybe two games, 11 to 12 wins here or there, still in the wild card. It won't be as nail biting down the stretch. We won't have to need like three things to happen at the last game of the year to make the playoffs.
Good morning to Kenneth on the board. Welcome.
Yeah, just by getting like how the roster is constructed now.
So a little recap of what everything that we did touch on this morning. Let me read what Kenneth said. We will move on. I think the thing with we always have relied on dramatic comeback endings. Now we don't have to. We can score earlier in the game. Russ had 20 red zone touchdowns. So he, you know what, it can't be bad. What with this Russell Wilson move, guys? Again, for the people that are complaining, I think you're out of your friggin' minds. Because let me just do this one more time, okay? He was the rookie of the year. He led the NFL in passing in 2017. Two Super Bowl appearances. He won one. Nine Pro Bowl appearances. Veteran. He could teach Kenny. We could win along the way. It doesn't have to be a disaster. It doesn't have to be every game comes down to the end. Maybe Russell Wilson will throw two touchdowns where Kenny threw one. Maybe Russell will throw three where Kenny threw one. I just can't imagine where this is a bad move, guys, for what we spent to bring Russell Wilson here, $1.2 million for a veteran minimum. You have so much freed up money now. We're cutting guys right and left. Keanu Neal gone. Patrick Peterson gone. Allen Robinson gone. This is just a tip of the iceberg. Free agency hasn't even started yet. You have free agency starting on Wednesday at 4 o'clock. You have the draft next month. For this to be a bad move, I think people are out of their minds. This may be the best possible move we could have made.
Yeah.
And this really could. And you know, Mike, I mean, 9-2 in one score could have easily, but it wasn't.
But it
the
wasn't,
fact
yeah.
of the matter is, this team found a way with what we had to be 9-2 in those games. So now with a better quarterback, another
yeah.
season, you bring other players in, you bring new guys in. I think we're better than an 11-win team, as you stated earlier, with 11 wins. I think that it's crazy to think that we're only going to get 11 yeah. wins. And
like Kenneth said, those 20 touchdowns in the red zone, I didn't realize that's how proficient he was. That's huge right there.
He's late career Russell Wilson, the same way you look at late career Ben Roethlisberger. Is he Ben? No. Is he good as Ben? No. But at the end of the day, he's going to walk into that Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio after 5 years is up when he leaves the league. At the end of the day, you're getting late career Russell Wilson. It's going to be comparable to late career Ben. He's been there, done that. He knows the league. There's nothing else that this guy doesn't know. I can't imagine that there's a better move we could have made this year for moving forward.
Yeah.
Can you draft a guy? Can you do this? Can you do that? Yes, but you know what? Bang for buck, dollar for dollar, move for move, X for O. Russell Wilson is the move that we should have, could have, and I'm glad that we made.
I'm looking at least 3,500 yards passing, 30 touchdowns from Russ.
And that's not out of the question. That's very good.
You know, that
he's never thrown under 3,000 yards in a season.
Yeah, he threw 3,026 last year. And
that's his career low.
And he didn't play the last two games, so he could easily, you know. And it took a while for that offense to get going, too, out there. And if he could come in here, everyone's going to be on the scene to be learning. Yeah, they're going to be learning a new offense, but they're all going to be learning together and moving forward. I wouldn't be surprised if he puts up close to 4,000 yards passing.
I'm
crossing my
way.
Fingers. I'm being very optimistic right now, which is out of character for me, but I'm liking this move, and I think it's going to be good.
And if people say, You should have brought in the guy that passes for a lot of yards. Take the career of Kirk Cousins, put it next to the career of Russell Wilson, and guess what? Russell Wilson threw more yards in that same amount of time.
Yeah.
He has a better touchdown to interception ratio. Yes, Kirk Cousins has freakish times in his period where he threw a freakish amount of yards and freakish amount of touchdowns, but pound for pound, they have the same amount of time in the league. Russell Wilson's better. One time, one guy won a Super Bowl, one guy won a Rookie of the Year, one guy let – so come on. Yeah. At the end of the day, this is the best possible move that this Steeler team could have made. And guess what? If Russell Wilson goes down with an injury, now you have a quarterback who wasn't a bad quarterback, and he could win close games and games that come down to the wire. And you also have, at this time, you still do have a Mason Rudolph in the mix. Guys, for what we were paying out, I can't imagine that you could have created a better situation for this upcoming season.
Yeah, like, and speaking of
Pittsburgh
Mason,
wants to win. They want to win now.
Yeah, speaking of Mason, I don't think he's coming back now. It's a shame because I really like him. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that third quarterback spot. Maybe take a quarterback late in the draft. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ken. I'm not a huge Peyton fan. I'm really not.
Me either.
And he kind of did his thing in this. But the thing about it, when he was in New Orleans, a lot more should have been accomplished. And that's what makes me say, you know what, he's not as good as he should have been. He led this franchise back. They I tell you what, they went through a Hurricane Katrina. They played off the emotions of the city, and they did win a Super Bowl. I think that he should have had more accomplished in New Orleans if he was, in fact, that guy that they say Jay Peyton was. I'm not a big fan. Again, I acknowledge, you know, he's probably average to better than average coach in the league. But at the end of the day, I agree with you 100%. We shouldn't have parades for this guy. I'm not overly impressed.
I was never really impressed with him. Like Ken said, you know, Drew Brees.
Sean Payton.
Sean, yeah. Like, you said Jay Payton. I was just going to let it go because I knew you get in a role. You forget first name sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's your old age catching up with you.
So there you go, guys. A lot of movement going on in the NFL.
Yeah.
Don't take your eyes off the ticker. I got to tell you, as Derpy. The day goes on.
Derpy. I got to get you a new mic, bro.
I know. I'm sorry.
As the day goes on, just keep your eye on the TV. You're going to see things happening. I'm seeing now. Would you rather have
Kirk Cousins.
Justin Fields or Kirk Cousins?
Cousins is talking with Atlanta.
And I think that, you know, did we say that last week? That's where he was going.
I think we were talking about that, yeah. Like, that would be a logical landing spot for him.
But these
like,
two,
like, his wife from there and stuff like that.
These two quarterbacks are going to be what you hear about, you know, big time here over the next few days. I predict this. I think that Kirk Cousins lands in Atlanta, and I think Justin Fields stays in Chicago.
I agree.
Yeah, because no one, I don't think anyone's going to make that trade for Justin Fields. Like, I would hold on to him if there's more. Draft Caleb Williams, hold on to Russell Wilson. Hold on to Justin Fields. How many times do you see quarterbacks get hurt? Your number one gets hurt. Your number two gets hurt. Oh, we need another quarterback. Our third stringer isn't ready yet.
And you're going to throw Caleb Williams into the Wolves?
It might get moved back to week 10.
You think he's going to do okay in the NFC North? And, he finished 5-4 in the SEC or in his conference. Well,
his defense really let him down this year.
Hey.
But he made some
at the end
really
of the day.
Plays. The thing is, that, like, with him.
You don't think Chicago's going to let him down?
Oh, they'll let him down.
You think Chicago's going to rally around him? They're going to win a lot of football games and be good?
They're building a nice defense.
They've never been good.
Thing is, with Caleb Williams, like, if he can hit his ceiling, he can be a damn good quarterback. But if he doesn't, oof, it's going to be rough.
I think it's going to be rough.
I think he should have went in last year.
Listen, the most successful quarterback ever came out of Chicago has been Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Like, Caleb Williams should have declared for the draft last year. He would have been number one easily as well.
It isn't easy to be a good terrible franchise.
It's going to Chicago, man. It's a curse. That's why he should hope Chicago trades that pick to.
Yeah.
I don't know who.
I think Drake May is going to be New England's quarterback of the future.
I think he's going to be a bust too.
He's a good quarterback though.
I don't see it. I mean, he's very inaccurate.
How many North Carolina games did you watch, Mike? I've seen so many.
I watched film breakdown, man. He's just not.
So you just watched the film. I've been watching it for 3 years.
I've been watching ex-quarterbacks breakdown film. They say all these guys need a year.
But you haven't watched them play. You don't know what you're talking. You have to watch them play.
The film breakdown, watching guys break down his game.
I understand what you said 9 times, but I'm saying you never watched them play.
I watched them play. They broke down his.
You do take so basically you took the highlights and listened to what they.
I don't watch the highlights.
In the narrative that they gave you, you took that, and that's what you believe. And that's what you believe. And that's fine.
Yeah, I'm listening to experts
because he's a terrible quarterback and he didn't do anything in college.
No, there's flaws in anyway. There's flaws in Caleb Williams. There's flaws in Jaden Daniels.
What's
that? Clean up. They all have flaws that they need.
Listen, nobody said they didn't. I'm just saying that Drake May is going to be the quarterback in New England. And he's a good quarterback. He's probably the best natural quarterback coming out of college. As far as passing out of the pocket, name one better. All right. So
Travis,
let's move on.
Wait, who's the dude from Florida State?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He had what? He had less. He had less success than Kenny Pickett in college. So let's go with that one. All right, so guys, we do got to move on because I can't argue with you for 20 minutes, Mike. We have people that want to hear about football, so let's and other Pittsburgh sports, Mike. Listen to this. So all parking lots and garages on the North Shore are going to be cashless for special events, starting with the Pirates home opener this season. Mike, do you have any problems with this going up to the North Shore and everything being cashless?
I don't carry cash, so it works perfectly for me. But
let's say you did.
If I did it, it would bug me because, there's like the older Gen X and boomers still carry a lot of cash, whereas younger Gen X, millennials on down, don't carry a lot of cash.
Right.
So it's a generational thing, but I don't have a problem. Keep up with time.
Who has the money, though? You know what I'm saying? The people that are our age and up are generally the people that have the money.
Yeah.
And I think that you're telling them that you can't use cash. I listen, it's coming. Don't get me wrong. I totally agree and understand that the future brings no cash and cashless society. But I think it's going to be rough because, again, the people that actually have money are not going to be 20 years old. They're not going to be, 22 years old. And these are the people that are totally fine with a cashless society. I think at first it's going to be a struggle, but it's going to be what it is.
Yeah.
But that was just a segue to talk about this guy, Mike. Henry Davis. Henry Davis of the Pittsburgh Pirates leads the Grapefruit League with 4 home runs. He has 4 in the last 5 games. He has 9 RBIs, which he also leads the Grapefruit League. He is batting .333 at the moment. He's the best Pittsburgh Pirate on the team. Yet there is still the talk that this guy is not going to be on the opening day roster. He's taken advantage of the injured Grandel who came over to play catcher. He's playing behind the plate. He's gunning guys out. He hit 4 home runs in 5 games, 9 ribbies, .333. Any chance that this guy isn't on the opening day roster, Mike?
It's the Pittsburgh Pirates, so there is a very good chance he might be not in Indianapolis.
Well, what
and if that's I'm half serious, but I'm half joking. But
I know I can that's see it the happening. Thing. It's insane. Is he could wind up in?
But he needs to be the day one starter at catcher. He's showing why he was the number one overall pick in his draft.
I agree.
Let him play. Also,
a couple other guys that are doing well. Again, of course, we mentioned that Henry Davis has 4 home runs, 9 RBIs. O'Neill Cruz, he has 3 home runs with 6 RBIs. Key Brian Hayes has 3 home runs, 7 RBIs. Nobody on this team is not playing top-notch at this time. Of course, yes, it is only the Grapefruit League, but you know what? You like to see these things moving forward.
Because if they were struggling, I would be shitting on them.
Right.
So now, I'm going to give them credit. They're doing what they need to do in spring training.
Barco's back.
Looking good. They're forcing management's hand right now.
They're back in action today at 105 against the Red Sox, guys. Big game over the weekend. Pitt needed to win. I don't know if they needed to win, but they won, and a lot of good things happened because of it. Talking about the Pitt basketball team, they beat NC State on Saturday, 81-73. So, Mike, Pitt is now the number 4 seed in the ACC, and they do have a 2-round bye. I thought that not getting the 2-round bye would be the best case for them. But you know what? They earned the 2-round bye. They're the number 4 seed. Yeah. They'll play Thursday at 2:30. The ACC tournament starts tomorrow. So depending on what happens tomorrow and Wednesday, we'll see who Pitt will play on Thursday. And this is also, Mike, the highest finishing position since joining the ACC for Pitt. Pretty cool what they've accomplished.
Yeah.
But again, I just don't see them as that long team that has that longevity that they could put together a nice, consistent winning streak and win the whole thing. But we'll see what they could do with the ACC tournament this week, man.
You have 2 round bye. Get at least that win in your first game. Go from there, see if that's enough to get you into the tournament. Because right now, what, they're in the next four out in most places?
Yeah, they moved up. I think somebody lost the other day, bumped them up into another. I don't recall, but I know that there was a couple losses over the weekend. It definitely helped them out.
Like I saw one where, like, you know, they won, teams above them lost, but yet it still dropped in their rankings and stuff like that. It's just
was that since NC State?
Yeah, it was since
I seen
NC
at one
State.
Point they did drop, and then I seen again they went up. So
it's like in different people's you know, projections and stuff. It was like people that kind of know, that kind of get it really close every year. Like Joe Lenardi, he had like Pitt dropping down after they won and other teams lost. It was wild. So we'll see, but I'd like to see him get in, at least get two wins out of the NCAA tournament. I think that's about their max.
The and also in NCAA women's, Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes, they win the ACC, or I'm sorry, the Big Ten tournament for the third time in a row. Over the
come
weekend.
From behind.
Yes, they did. They I see they beat up Penn State the other day.
They kind of knew that was cool.
But they did. They won. So now on to the big dance for them. Derpy doesn't seem to think that this team has a chance in the big tournament, Derpy. Caitlin Clark and Iowa.
I don't.
Why is that? There's nobody that's even been close to even touching this team. How could you not?
I just think South Carolina is just going to dominate.
South Carolina? Isn't that the team that just got that big Royal Rumble?
Isn't half their team disqualified for the first round?
Is it?
Well, them and I don't know, because there's like speculation.
Well, them and LSU got in that big
like
fight.
Like LSU and you know, South Carolina. They,
I know
like,
six people were suspended from both. I don't know how many that goes one
so
way or
I
the
don't
other.
Know how many people are going to be out that first round. So it's going to be interesting, man. And that was like something you would. It felt like I was watching the Bad Boy Pistons against the Boston Celtics, the way they were fighting. I loved it, man. It was basketball from the 80s.
The worst story in Pittsburgh. Usually the Pirates take this.
Yeah.
The Penguins guys, they're on a free fall. Boy, are they falling and falling
we
fast.
Predicted this.
Last three games, they lost to the Capitals 6-0. The Bruins 5-1. The Oilers yesterday 4-0. Guys, that's 15-1 in their last three games. They've lost. They become unwatchable. 4-0 they lost to the Oilers yesterday. Penguins are now 28-27-8. They are close to falling under 500. We joked this year and said, can you know, the Steelers and the Pirates and the Penguins, you know, who would have the best record? And somebody said, well, at least the Penguins will be away, you know, they'll be above 500. Well, that is, guys, I don't know what the hell they really feel like they've. I said it last week. Once the Gensel trade happened, it felt to me like they threw in the white towel. They threw in the towel, and they are on a free fall. I'm sorry, Mike. Anything about this team going to be interesting between now and the end of the season? Or
if they lose out, they might be in a pretty good chance in the draft lottery to where we get that number one pick, baby.
There you go.
Because even though we did use our first round pick as trade to get Carlson, it's, you know, lottery protected. So we can choose to keep it this year if we finish in the draft lottery, depending on where we fall high enough to, you know, get a percentage in there to get that number one overall pick. So lose out, boys. See what happens. Because right now the only one still competing seems to be Carlos.
This does look like the worst Penguin team I've seen in many, many years at this point. They're literally not – they were playing bad earlier. They're literally not doing anything now.
Like, it's like the Steelers or the Pirates showed this kind of lack of energy. I mean, you know, screaming for coaching change, but man, Mike Sullivan is just skating, or you know, coasting
it's
through
over
this game. It's funny, it's comical, but no, this team is just—it's rough right now. they got a lot of rebuilding to do.
Couple miscellaneous stories here, guys, in college football. Did you see this? The former USA and Vandy quarterback recently revealed. His name was Mo Hassan. Formally revealed that he was approached by Italian mafia and was offered $300,000 to fix a game. Also said the mobster told him that almost every game in the SEC is rigged. The mobster goes on to name guys from the SEC and Alabama that Hassan did not mention because the guys were in the NFL now. Mike, does this hold any weight? Should people take this serious? And if they should or shouldn't,
if it's the SEC, they should take it serious.
If Mo Hassan turns up missing,
right,
and found somewhere, I will start taking it seriously.
Yeah.
If not, well, as long as just trying to capitalize on everyone's conspiracy theory that everything is like that.
Well, how does this benefit Mo Hassan by saying
I don't
this?
Know.
Okay.
I haven't thought that Save far
his
ahead.
Life.
Logan Paul, him and Mike Tyson, of course, last week, the big fight. I can't wait for this. I'm going to watch it. It's on Netflix. There's no way that I'm not going to watch it. Logan Paul, you can't tell me I can't beat Mike Tyson, bro. He's old. He's old, old. He goes on to say, Mike Tyson says, I started him on his boxing journey on the undercard of my fight with Roy Jones, and now I plan to finish him. I don't know. Take Tyson off his medicine. I don't care if he's 100 years old. I think Mike Tyson wipes the floor with this guy. What do you think?
I hope he does, too. And Paul is using the he needs to learn from Jake Paul to how to cut a promo. Because, you know, you don't want to say your opponent's old and then you get your ass beat, because then you're the guy who got your ass beat by an old man. So if you say, yeah, you know, oh, he's, you know, he's been around a long time, you use euphemisms by it, then you get beat by the grizzled veteran. You don't get beat your ass beat by an old guy. That's just like,
why don't you go tell everybody about the website, man?
TheTwoDunnYinzers.com over there. We got our merch store. We got our links to all of our social media, the blog up there. If I am ever healthy over the weekend, trust me, the blog will be updated. But no, I have not been healthy in, 2 months over a weekend. I get every freaking sickness going around. So hopefully this weekend it will be updated. So yes, TheTwoDunnYinzers.com. Maybe the blog will be about my health issues.
Yeah, we want to hear about your stool and your vomit, by all means.
Oh, I can talk about 45 minutes about that stuff.
All right, guys, so here's what we're going to do. This is such a big Russell Wilson day. Everybody in the – I think most people are pretty excited about Russell Wilson, about us bringing a Hall of Fame quarterback into play some football here. So what I'm going to do, guys, this is going to be a three-prong question. I'm going to ask you three Russell Wilson questions today to commemorate his number three that he does wear as a football player in the NFL. Guys, we're going to ask you three Russell Wilson questions for trivia today. What do you think about that, Mike?
Let's do it.
All right, Derpy, are you ready?
Steeler Nation, let's ride.
All right. Here we go. First leg of the Russell Wilson trivia questions. Here we go. Which round was Russell selected in the 2012 draft? Which round was Russell Wilson selected in the 2012 draft? Go ahead and think that over for a moment, guys. We're live. We're live every day, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here. If you missed this show or you would rather just listen to the show, we do upload the brand new live show that we do every day on Spotify in podcast form at 8 o'clock p.m. If you're at the gym, you're in the car, maybe cutting the grass, and you got the earbuds in, you could always listen to the show. It is in podcast form, though, 8 o'clock every day over on Spotify. All right, Mike, the first leg, we have three Russell Wilson trivia questions today. The first leg of the Russell Wilson trivia is, which round was Russell Wilson selected in the 2012 draft? Mike, what do you think?
Second round.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
All right, I'm going to lock Mike in on the second round. Derpy, which round was Russell Wilson selected in the 2012 draft? Mike says the second round. What do you think?
I'm going third.
Third round. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
All right. So I'll do them all a bit individual. So let's see. Which round was Russell Wilson selected in? Mike said the second. Derpy said the third. The answer was the third round. Russell Wilson was selected in the 2012 draft behind these quarterbacks: Brock Osweiler, Brandon Whedon, Ryan Tannehill, RG3, and Andrew Luck. All those quarterbacks were selected ahead of Mr. Wilson.
Derpy. Damn, man. If Luck didn't break his neck and RG3 didn't blow out his knee multiple times, that would be a pretty good draft class.
Question number two, because this is a three-pronged Russell Wilson trivia day, because he does wear the number three on his jersey. Number two, guys, what MLB team drafted Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson was, in fact, drafted by an MLB baseball team in 2010. Derpy, Mike,
Derpy.
Who was the NFL team or the MLB team that drafted him? Derpy, I'm going to start with you. Who do you think?
The Rangers.
The Rangers in Texas. Is this your final answer?
Yes.
All right, Mike, I'm going to come over to you. Who was the baseball team that drafted Russell Wilson 2 years before he got drafted into the NFL?
Oakland A's.
In the Oakland A's. So I got the Rangers and the A's. I'm going to lock you guys in. The team that drafted Russell Wilson in 2010 from the major leagues was, in fact, the Colorado Rockies.
Ooh.
The Rockies. And, guys, the third leg of the three-question Russell Wilson three-question trivia day is this. Here we go. Derp, are you ready?
Let's try it.
You got one right so far. Mike, you're still looking for your first one correct. Here we go, guys. What jersey number did Russell Wilson wear in college? He didn't start wearing number 3 until he came into the NFL pros. Guys, tell me, what number he wore in college? Mike, I'm going to start with you on this one. I could tell you right off the top, it was not number 3. I'm looking for the number that Russell Wilson wore in college, Mike.
8.
8, is that your final answer?
Yep.
All right, Derpy, I'm going to come over to you. Mike says number 8. What number did Russell Wilson wear in college when he played football?
Derpy.
I'm going to go 9.
Number 8 and number 9. Is that your final answer, Derpy?
Yes.
All right. So you guys are all locked in. The third question on this three-legged Russell Wilson trivia is, what number did Russell Wilson wear in college? 8 and 9 were the numbers picked. Number 16.
Ooh.
Number 16 was the number that Russell Wilson wore in his jersey in college at NC State. But so we're learning, guys. We don't know everything about this guy yet, but you know what? Day one of him being a Pittsburgh Steeler, we're learning a little bit. We are all excited. No two ways about it. Mike, anything before we start to get ready to wrap up? Anything on your mind?
I am somehow my camera lost. There I am. Like you said, T. Higgins, you know, might be traded. I was just reading on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. And they might be able to get a first round pick for him, which is insane. For a wide receiver being traded for a first round pick. That Bengals team has fallen apart fast. I hope it happens quickly.
I love to see it. I love to see it, guys. Everybody likes to see this Bengals team struggle. It's going to be nice next year if they have nothing, because you know what? They had nothing this year. If their quarterback was out, now bring their quarterback out and him have nothing to throw to.
I'm Derpy, just wondering what happened for him to request a trade.
Derpy, what about you, man? Anything extra on your mind?
Steeler Nation, let's ride. And Omar coming.
I agree. It's Omar's time to shine. I love this. I do also want to say thank you, everybody, for checking us out. We appreciate each and every one of you. We wouldn't do it without you. Everybody on the board, as always, we do want to say thank you, guys. You guys are always, always keeping things interesting here. I gotta catch this one comment I see about Jake Paul. Mike Tyson, like you said, Ryan, will wipe Jake Paul. But if serious entertainment. Yeah. I mean, that's it. If it's a fight, I think Mike Tyson wins.
Yeah.
If they, you know, if it's, you know, whatever this entertainment form is nowadays, where it's not really, I take back what I said. I don't know if Mike Tyson's going to win just because I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
If it was a straight out fight and these two dudes went out and did what it is that Mike Tyson does, I think Mike Tyson kills him. But being that it is more than likely an entertainment form, I mean, is it going to be in a boxing ring? Is it going to be in an octagon? I mean, does anybody even know the details?
I think it's going to be in, you know, boxing ring, but like you said, like, is it going to be pre-planned?
Right.
Hey, Tyson, pull your punches. Yeah. I was watching some video, man. They were showing Tyson doing boxing drills.
Dude, he was killing.
Yeah.
And compared to Paul doing his right next to him in the split screen, I mean, he looked like he would murder this Jake Paul. But who knows? That's a good point, Ralph. I do thank you for that bringing that point up.
Like we were talking about last week when we started talking about, like, Jake Paul wants to take this stuff seriously. And Oscar De La Hoya was like, he's like, I think this fight's stupid because Jake Paul wants to take it seriously. Take it seriously. He's like, you have talent. Oscar De La Hoya, you know, one of the greatest boxers of all times, you know, says, hey, you have good potential at this. You have talent. Take it seriously. Take it seriously, dude. Start an actual, you know, boxing career. But, you know, that will hurt his brand if he starts racking up losses. And he's all about the brand, not about the actual sport of boxing.
My thing, guys, to finish up the show is this. Over the weekend, I asked AI. I said, should people worship you? My AI says this to me. It might be time to move on to a new topic. Let's start a new one. Very interesting. Why would it say that to me? I don't know, but you know what?
It's deflecting, baby.
Nonetheless,
it's deflecting.
Derpy, Mike at the Steelers Central Mobile Studio, myself, the Two Dumb Yinzers. Everybody have a great day. Enjoy some NFL scoop as it goes on throughout the day. I'm seeing things go across the screen constantly. Enjoy. Keep up. We'll be back tomorrow to talk all about it. Have a great one for the Two Dumb Yinzers. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No, 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 no.